Chapter 32. Rainy has been in tight spots before. When she was young, she married a man who turned out to be connected to a drug cartel, and it nearly got her and her two children killed. But as a result, she learned how to shoot firearms with pinpoint accuracy. As she waits for the trackers to come, she tells herself this is nothing new. She can do this thing. She is atop the knoll, which is capped by greenstone, a ubiquitous rock in the boundary waters. She has settled herself behind the greenstone with the barrel of the Winchester resting on the rock. Dolores is below, standing in plain sight of the marsh. It was her idea, using herself as bait. "If they're focused on me, they won't see you," she insisted. "Make sure you don't miss," she added. As the waiting goes on, Rainey yields to her fear that neither she nor Dolores will walk out of these woods, and her thinking turns to Cork and their life together. She's been happy in their marriage, happier than she can ever remember. He's a good man, a gentle man, a flawed man for sure, but his heart is noble. He's never been one to speak his emotions in fancy phrases, but she feels his love like a shower of rose petals, and oh, does she love him in return. She closes her eyes and imagines them old together, walking hand in hand toward some final sunset. Then she snaps herself out of her maudlin imagining, opens her eyes, and comes back to the reality of the moment, which presents her with a conundrum. Cork is Ogachida, a warrior, and she is not. She is Mide, a healer. She nurtures life, yet here she sits with a rifle in her hands prepared to kill. What does the Creator expect of me? It's a question she wishes she hadn't asked herself because it weakens her resolve. And in the next moment, she spies a man moving double time along the edge of the marsh, head down, reading the trail she's left. She recognizes him, one of the two men at the campfire the night before. She looks to the east, expecting to see the second man coming, following the trail Dolores left, but no one is there. She returns her attention to the lone man. He lifts his head from the trail signs and hesitates a moment. He's seen Dolores, and Dolores has seen him. She turns with her walking stick in her hand and starts to hobble off. The man breaks into a lope. He's 60 yards away when Rainey breathes in, breathes out, leads him with her aim, and slowly squeezes the Winchester's trigger. The rifle bucks against her shoulder, and in almost the same instant the man goes down. Rainey watches him scramble behind the protection of a tamarack, a narrow trunk that barely conceals him. She sights again on the edge of his shoulder, which is still visible. She should pull off another round, ensure that he's dead or so severely wounded that he's no longer a threat. But she can't quite bring herself to squeeze the trigger a second time. She glances east again, just to be certain that the second man isn't coming to his aid. In the moment she averts her eyes, the downed man dashes from the tamarack into the protection of a fallen pine. Dolores has made her way behind the cover of the knoll, and she stares expectantly up at Rainey, waiting to know the outcome. Now it becomes a waiting game. Rainey feels a sliver of relief in her thinking that she hasn't actually killed the man. The weight of murder isn't on her heart. She begins to ponder the fact that the man is alone. What about his partner? Henry, she thinks, with a twisting of her gut. The other predator is dealing with Henry, but maybe it's not too late, she hopes desperately. It's been a while and the man hasn't shown any movement. She begins to suspect that her shot might have been a mortal wounding after all. If that's true, then she needs to go back now and see about Henry. She lifts her rifle, rises just a bit to turn and descend the backside of the knoll. The greenstone explodes. Rainey feels a piercing pain in her left upper arm. She drops low and continues down the slope. She checks her arm, sees blood on the sleeve of her shirt. When she pulls the sleeve back, she can see that it's a superficial wound, a slicing probably caused by a piece of the exploding greenstone. Her instincts tell her to grab Dolores and make a run for it, but her hope for Henry has set a hook in all her thinking. "Go on," she tells Dolores. "Stay with the creek like I told you. You'll reach Iron Lake in safety." "What about you?" "I'll make sure this guy won't follow you, then I'm going back for Henry." "I can't." "You can. You have to. You'll slow me up too much if you go back with me. I need to get to Henry fast. Please, Dolores, just do this." On the woman's face, Rainey can see pain. Not from the swollen ankle, she understands. Dolores hugs her, then turns and hobbles south. Rainey crosses the creek and slips into the trees on the other side. She carefully makes her way in a wide arc that eventually brings her to a place 50 yards west of the fallen pine where the downed man took shelter. She can see him prone behind the trunk, still alive and moving. He's gripping his right thigh and his fingers are a bloody mess. She could easily put another round into him. But at this point she knows it would be cold-blooded murder and she's not sure she could live with that. It's clear he's not going to be chasing Dolores, and Rainey decides that she's finished with him. It's time to see about Henry. Despite the urgency she feels, she moves stealthily through the pines. She does her best to stay in sight of the trail she and Dolores took earlier, just in case the second man has finished his business with Henry and is now on their trail. But the landscape is rugged, and sometimes she can't see the other side of the creek, and she knows she might miss the last tracker. And so as she makes her way, she prays, "Creator, be kind." She returns to the lake in a little over an hour. She crosses the stones where the creek runs and finds the cold ash and char of the fire Henry built. Her great uncle is nowhere to be seen. She calls out his name and receives no answer. She's on the verge of collapse, physically and spiritually, and all she can think of is Henry dead, his body thrown in the lake or tossed into the woods like the carcass of a worthless animal. Her strength finally gives out, and she collapses beside the ashes. The sun is in the western sky, and she feels as if a warm hand is on her face. She closes her eyes, thinking that she's ready to give in to the terrible finality she has imagined, give in to grief. Except she finds that she cannot. There is still some iron in her spirit that will not yield, not yet. She opens her eyes, stands, and studies the area around the fire. Things are missing. The blanket and Dolores's clothing, which she left with Henry. Also, the old man's medicine bag. What could those monsters of men want with any of these things? No, she decides with a burst of resolve. Henry is not dead. It is Henry who has taken the blanket and the medicine bag, and if this is true, then he must be alive and has left a trail. She begins carefully to read the signs on the lake shore and finally finds the faint impression of a moccasin alongside another big boot print. The toes of the prints point north, deeper into the great wilderness. Henry, she thinks, has fled, but he's being pursued by the last of the hunters. Once again, she's filled with a desperate purpose, and without hesitation, She follows where the signs lead.